Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Terry Yates, a guy who you've heard maybe more than once or three times here on our show, rejoining us here. He is a lawyer here, an esteemed lawyer here in the city of Houston, and he is going to straighten out this stuff for us here with the Deshaun Watson. Big day, man. Actually, probably a lot more than just today. Into next week, more than likely the grand jury, and certainly the depositions will take a while. Terry, welcome to the show. How are you?
Good morning, John.
So, okay, let's we'll talk first. So, I heard one of the other shows. Is the grand jury different than the... Yes, the grand jury is different than the depositions. One's a civil, the depositions are for the civil, and the grand jury is for the criminal. All right, so as I understand it, they've been meeting grand jury for... This isn't the first time that they've been meeting grand jury, and they've been putting together this thing, Terry, and it could take... more than just today and into next week. Tell us about this process with the grand jury and what this means for Deshaun Watson over the next few days.
Well, John, a grand jury is very, very different from a jury, as people may be familiar with from watching Law and Order and all the TV shows that you see on TV. Grand juries are... in Harris County, so they convene up to 10 grand juries in January, and they sit through March. And they're basically, they work very closely with the prosecutors. The prosecutors have a hand in picking them. They know who's on the grand juries. And then by, you know, mid-March, certainly they have an idea of what kind of grand jury each one of them are, because they kind of all form their own identity. I know when I was a prosecutor, you would before you'd go into a grand jury and start working with one, you'd do a little research, and then you would talk to the prosecutors who go in there every day. They're prosecutors who present cases called grand jury prosecutors, and say, you know, how's this 185th grand jury? Oh, they're real good. How's this 263rd? Well, you know, they're a little bit autonomous. They kind of do what they want. So in this case, you know, they waited till March probably, and probably a week or so ago, they went into a particular grand jury that they picked and started presenting some of the case, and they may have just summarized offense reports, told them about the different, alleged victims and started working with them. And then they formulate a schedule on what they want to present. I understand that they've subpoenaed up to 8 people for today. Some of them may go in and testify.
Are they going to hear from the victims today?
They most likely hear from some of them. Probably not all 8 of them today. So, you know, the DA's office and a grand, that old saying that, came from Bonfire of the Vanities, Tom Wolfe's book, eventually made into a movie, that a grand jury would indict a ham sandwich for a prosecutor if that's what he asked for. And that's kind of how it works down there. I mean, if a prosecutor wants an indictment, they'll get an indictment. If they don't want one, generally they can convince the grand jury into no billing it. That's when they decide not to go forward.
Why wouldn't the prosecutor want it?
Well, who who, what do they want? I mean, who knows? I don't know what they want, but they're generally going to do what they want.
Why would they bring it to a, why would they bring it to a grand jury if they don't want to prosecute it?
Well, because it's covered, John. You know, if the DA's
politics, office, baby, politics.
Yeah, oh, exactly. I mean, that's one of the greatest uses for a grand jury for an elected DA is that, so the, you know, HPD, Sex Crimes Division, has investigated the case. I mean, these cases are now coming up on a year, right?
Yeah. It's a, yeah, almost
so
a year
they
exactly.
Presented it to the DA's office. And the DA's office has to decide what to do with it. So if, you know, if they look at it and it's weak and there's a lot of conflicts and the victims aren't, they don't have any credibility, I mean, what they could do is say, no, we're not going to prosecute it. But then they have to fade the heat.
Yeah.
Right? So, but if they go in front of a grand jury, and the grand jury, they can either do, well, they can either do three things. They can either true billet, that means it goes to a state district court judge for trial. They can no billet, that means it stops it, or they can pass on it. They don't have to take any action. But if they go in and they no bill these cases, then the DA's office say, look, you know, we didn't make that decision. The grand jury did. So, Lance is exactly right. It's a cover a lot of, you know, prosecutors use to take the burden off of themselves, and they can put it on an anonymous group of people that's done in secret, and nobody's to blame.
John, I want to jump in and ask Terry this. I had a friend of mine who's a former defense lawyer who now is a judge, and he was elected as judge, and we were talking a little bit about the fact that, you know, my whole point was that there's not going to be any physical evidence. There's no rape kit. There was not that assumption. There was not, like, what is the physical evidence going to be there? We were talking about whether or not Deshaun would actually face criminal charges, and I just thought there's just going to be too much he said, she said. But my buddy was listening, and he weighed in with physical evidence not always necessary. Example, aggravated robbery, guy pulls out gun on you, demands money, you give. No video evidence. All you have is word of complainant. All it comes down to is credibility of complaint. I said, yeah, but what about when something happens sexually? Are you really going to charge an NFL quarterback with a sex crime if you don't have any physical evidence of touching? I know this is a very specific instance. He said, quote, unquote, NFL quarterback is key. You never know, though. The Me Too movement has changed perspectives. I said, how are you doing? He said, great. Love the new gig, but it's a lot. I mean, I can go down the whole thing if you guys need me to. Gets into personal stuff. But to the very specific items I brought up, what do you think about all of that you don't have to? My whole point has been, how are they going to charge Deshaun Watson, especially a high-profile player, if there's not physical evidence?
Well, Lance, you're exactly right. I'll tell you, the vast majority of criminal cases filed, there isn't DNA, there isn't hair, there isn't semen, you know, to... I mean, it just doesn't happen. I mean, people, you know, watch TV and they see all these cases where they come in and present blood work and hair and stuff like that. I mean, it just the vast majority of criminal cases don't have it. And people have an expectation that they should, but they don't. But, you know, in this case, there's not going to be a question about identity, right? It's not, he's not going to say, I wasn't the one that went in for the massage. I mean, so identity is probably going to be a given. So it's a question of what occurred in that room. You know, he's going to say one thing and she's going to say another. Now, on the government side, in this case, what they have strength in is numbers, okay? So every case is to be heard independently, right, in a criminal case. You're to be judged by one case alone, but there are exceptions where the government can bring in what's called extraneous offenses, where they're allowed to bring in multiple cases, you know, in a case, for exception of modus operandi, you know, when a person does things over and over and over and different things, the government's allowed to bring in under 404B proof that it happened multiple times to different people in the same way. So, you know, when you have this many people, you know, I think there's, what, over 20 women who've made this complaint, and I think close to that number that have made criminal complaints, you know, the DA can come in here with a bunch of people, and it has a, you know, tendency to show that it happened because so many different people are saying it did.
Hey,
that's where their strength in it. If it was one person, yeah, I would agree it's pretty weak. Two, yeah. Five, and now you're getting stronger, and you got 10. I mean, it's pretty hard. Even if some of them are knuckleheads and don't have much credibility, when you've got that many people, I mean, some of them are going to have some credibility, you would think.
Yeah, but some of them, Terry, are a lot. Well, a lot of it is misdemeanor stuff, right? And there are
exactly,
a couple of felony charges here against him, in which they say he forced them to do things, as opposed to just
right.
He moved and hey, I touched it, and all of this other stuff. In your opinion, since there are just a couple that say, I mean, where is this, and what do you think the odds are? From what you know right now, what are the odds that he is going to be indicted?
Well, like I said, it's pretty much up to the chief of the Sex Crimes Bureau of the Special Crimes Unit, the DA's office. That's Ms. Stallings, on whether she wants this case. And I think if she wants indicted, it's going to get indicted. You know, they may come back. What I would do if I was prosecuting, and I had a couple strong cases like that as felonies, I'd probably just indict, you know, one or two of the best ones and then hold the rest back, even hold the misdemeanors back. You could use those to plea bargain with. And then if there's no plea bargain reach, you could either bring those. They could bring the misdemeanors too, or they could hold them back. And they could still use those as extraneous in a trial, even if they're not charged, just because cases that charge doesn't mean it couldn't be used. They couldn't use those witnesses to really buttress their other case. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So they could bring a big number of felonies. You know, some people have different strategies. They could bring like six or eight felonies and two or three misdemeanors, or vice versa. They could bring two strong felonies and a half a dozen misdemeanors, or they could just sit back and hold some of them back and say, well, look, if you don't plead to this, you know, misdemeanor or this felon, then we're going to bring more cases. So it's just a matter of strategy. But, you know, long story short, if they want an indictment and they think they've got sufficient proof to prove it, then they'll get what they want. They'll get an indictment.
Well, if there is a no bill, then it pretty much is an indication that the prosecutors don't believe that they've got enough evidence to convict him, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Right.
If it's no bill, then...
Well, either that or they're big Texans fans and they want to see him traded. Right?
that happens. You know, I've presented a lot of high-profile defendants. And it cuts both ways, you know. Sometimes your guy gets indicted because he is high-profile, and sometimes they get indicted because he's not. I mean, it can cut both ways.
Right.
And, you know, on the other side, look, they know they're going up against Rusty, and he's one of the best lawyers, not even in Houston or Texas, but the United States, so they're going to have their hands full. You know, they've already been down this road and lost with the basketball player. What was his name? Murphy? Remember that?
Yeah, Calvin Murphy, right.
Yeah, so he, you know.
And that was Rusty,
put
too, wasn't it?
Yeah, he put a drubbing on him in that Calvin, which is a similar case. You know, remember there were a bunch of complainants who said there were minors, in fact, which is even, you know, very volatile and difficult case to win. But they brought in multiple complaints of indecency with children, and Rusty drubbed them. So they know what they're up against. They may not want to deal with Rusty. You know?
If there is a no bill, Terry, is it over? Because there's a good chance they're not bringing this back again, right?
Exactly, yeah. Unless something came forth, you know, they can always represent. Jeopardy doesn't attach just because there's a no bill. Now, there's a long-standing tradition at the Harris County DA's office going way back that once a case was presented, no bill, that the office wouldn't represent it unless some real, you know, some different evidence came, you know, forth and it was real compelling. But generally, yeah, it's going to be over with. You know, theoretically, something could come, you know, Watson were to confess in his depositions, which would be taken later.
Rusty's not
really
going to let that happen, though, is he?
No, they're not going to let that. He would never let that happen.
Well, what about if they go to a civil trial and he – is there a chance – well, will he testify in a civil trial?
Well, you would almost have to in a civil case. So let's say the criminal case is no bill today. And then so they're going to go forward with a civil case, and he'll be deposed. If a defendant takes – if a defendant in a civil case takes the Fifth Amendment, which he has a right to do, but if he does it in a civil case, they're allowed, the jury's allowed to draw what's called a negative inference from that, basically saying that he did what he's accused of.
Mm-hmm.
So in a civil case, the jury can use that to evaluate whether they're going to find against him or not and assess money damages, okay? In a criminal case, legally, that's not supposed to happen. We know because of the Fifth Amendment, and their juries are given instruction, and every defendant has a right to not testify, and can't use that against him. But in a civil case, it's the opposite. If a defendant in a civil case refuses to testify, then the judge gives instruction that jurors can use that as a negative inference and to make their determination on whether he's liable or not. So I would suspect that if this case is no bill and put to bed today, it's over, that he will be testifying. He will be given deposition testimony and then would ultimately testify in a civil case.
Hmm. Interesting stuff. How does this, what do you think? What are your, from talking to people behind the scenes and whatnot, what's your gut?
I think they're going to issue a true bill. That's what I think. That's what I would. I think the money odds would favor that. Something coming out of here, and it may not be it may not be a bunch of felonies, but it may be one or two felonies, and then
so this thing's going to keep. So what you're telling people is this going to keep going?
I don't think it's going to end today. I really don't. I think. Right. They'll probably come in and present two or three witnesses and then come in next week and probably add a couple more.
No, but you think that there will be charges?
Well, yeah, and if it's indicted, this could last well over a year if it actually goes to trial because...
Yeah, you think true bill as opposed to no bill?
I think the odds would favor... Slightly favor a true bill over a no bill. But again, it comes down to, I don't know the strength of their case, and it's going to come down to what that prosecutor wants. If she wants a true bill, she'll get it.
Wow.
Yuck. And even if they're going to lose it to Rusty, there's a chance that they're going for it and the Texans can't trade him.
Well, I mean, I don't think she's going to ask for a true bill from the grand jury if she thinks she's going to lose. Now, I think that's just a factor they're considering, you know. But if she asks for a true bill, it's because she thinks she's got enough firepower to convince a jury beyond a reasonable doubt that he acted inappropriately with one of these women.
Mm. That's Terry Yates right here on ESPN, old friend of the show.
All it takes is one. That's all it takes is one charge, and that's going to move this thing forward.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, yeah. Yep. And like I said, in the state of the criminal justice system downtown between, we've got cases pending back from Harvey, that's where it all started. And now with COVID, I mean, things still aren't back to normal. There's a backlog of cases mile long. I mean, it depends on what district court it falls into. But
they won't expedite it because of the profile of the case?
A judge might, but it's possible that they won't either. I mean, it just depends. There's 22 district courts down there. Well, 23 now. They added one last year. So, what judge gets it? A lot of people may not understand it, but some of these judges work harder than others. Some of them are a little bit more concerned about how big their dockets are. It just depends on what district court it lands in, is what judge it gets, and who's going to push it to trial. So, you're looking at least a year, I would guess, if there's going to be a trial. And if it's some kind of plea bargain worked out, it could certainly be a lot shorter than that. But on trial, you're probably looking at a year.
Wow, plea bargain! A plea bargain. Deshaun admitting it finally would be.
Yeah, but a plea bargain is not something we haven't talked about. But a plea bargain could also get him. Getting him what he wants, although I don't know how the league.
If it's a felony,
bargain,
though,
I gotta think.
Bargain think with league, a felony, though, Terry would mean some time. No
league response. No, not necessarily. But it would mean time for the NFL would have to give him a strong suspension.
Oh yeah. All right.
There's a lot of risk for everybody.
Yep, absolutely. That's Terry Yates right here, ESPN 97.5. Old friend of the show, Terry Yates, with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Terry, we appreciate it. Thanks for filling us in on all of this. I owe you a lunch.
All right, gentlemen. Y'all have a great weekend.
All right.
We'll see you, Terry.
There's Terry Yates right here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 8:19, we're late. Yeah, we'll probably combine them here in just a minute. After all of that, Lance, a positive? Are you feeling a lot more negative after that?
Well, we have to first of all set up the fact that we're just talking specifically about the Texans and how they're going to handle the football side of it. In terms of the football side of things, as soon as he said true, Bill, I was like, what? That's not what we have been talking about.
That's not what we're hoping for.
That's not
well,
what
not
we've
as
been
a football fan. As a football fan. Now, right. If Deshaun Watson, he forced himself and was sexually deviant, then you know what? Deshaun Watson should pay the price.
Yeah. That's a whole separate conversation.
Football wise, this sucks.
From a football standpoint, it's going to it's going to muddy the waters for the Houston Texans, because if there is a true bill, meaning yes, we believe there's enough to move forward with this and have charges, then what that's going to mean is basically the NFL has to immediately place him on commissioner exempt list. And I feel like if the Texans wanted to, well, this is a very interesting point. Let me bring this up too. The Texans right now could 100% go after, I think they could go after certainly the signing bonus. I don't know if they can go with the contract, and here's what I mean by that. They could cut Deshaun Watson. I need to ask my buddy Rodney Williams. So Rodney is a local agent, he and Brian Overstreet. Do you know who one of their clients is? A guy named Jeff Gladney, who was a cornerback from TCU, was a first round pick for the Minnesota Vikings. Did you happen to see what happened with Jeff Gladney?
Yeah, he goes not guilty.
Yeah, he went to not guilty. So Jeff Gladney was accused of – Jeff had some edge coming out of college. I had a scout tell me Jeff Gladney will be arrested within the first 2 years he's in the league. And he got arrested. And I'm like, holy crap. My guy ended up being right about that. And he got arrested for domestic violence. Well, what happened was Minnesota cut ties with him completely. He's like, they cut him. He ended up, doing some jail time, obviously, as he waited for this, I guess, and I don't know how much, but Gladney ends up, here we are, maybe a year later, maybe it was more than that. He gets found not guilty yesterday, and Rodney and Street from United Sports Group, they ended up releasing a long statement basically saying maybe the NFL will act like the criminal justice system moving forward and determine that a person, including a player, is not guilty until proven guilty. He's innocent until proven guilty, because now you've taken away his living, you've taken away time from being an NFL athlete and, you know, his earning potential and his career. And it's a viable point. You know, the NFL wants to move forward and not be, you know, and this is a tricky situation for the NFL. You don't want to have guys playing football who end up going to jail after being arrested. You know what I mean? But at the same time, you also don't, like, what do you do to allow them to be innocent until proven guilty? I don't know that there's an easy answer. I think what will happen with the Texans is immediately, if there is a charge, I think Deshaun will immediately be put on commissioner's exemption.
Yeah, yeah, he's got to go in.
Immediately.
Yeah.
You have to, right?
Well, I don't think, no, you don't have to, because you don't have to wait until, he doesn't go on the exempt list until you start getting paid. So, I mean, they wouldn't have to do that. He's not getting any money now anyway. We'll see how the whole process works out, but I don't believe that would happen. That have to happen until the payments start. We got to take a break. We're up against it. 713-780-3776. If you guys have got thoughts on any of this, you're more than welcome to do that. Right now, I am talking about my peeps over at GimmeTheVIN.com. That's where you get the most money for your vehicle, at GimmeTheVIN.com. GimmeTheVIN.com is just, John Clay Wolf is just awesome. I'm telling you, billion. He spent over a B last year, over a B on cars. That's a lot of cars. And he's doing it. He's the biggest in the country. And the reason is because he does it better than everybody else. He just gives you more. You're looking for more for your vehicle. At least go to your dealership or CarMax or wherever, armed with the knowledge of how much your vehicle is worth. Or, and I'm telling you, when you go there to the other places, you're going to go, wow, no, I'm getting more over here. So can you guys up your offer? Because I'm getting it here. Look, I got, this is the quote that I got from GiveMeTheVIN.com. So you're going to have to up your offer here. Otherwise, I'm going to GiveMeTheVIN.com. This happens all the time. Do it. If you're going to sell your car, go to GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
Hey, SiteJab, I've told you guys about them before. It's very important that you listen here if you own a small to medium-sized business. I don't care what your business is. We know you have competition. You know you have competition. It may be competition abroad. It may be national. It may just be local competition. But the thing is, your website is your one opportunity to really shine from an advertising standpoint if you're not going to advertise with us. If you're going to do it online, you got to have SiteJab dressing up your site. It needs to look great. It needs to be built and designed so that people engage with it longer. They have years of analytics and data which show how to keep people engaged with the sites longer, the way that people like to move around on a site. There's certain ways they'll click through and other ways they won't. Are you optimized for mobile viewing? Because that's what a majority of your viewing is going to be. There's so many different considerations. But don't forget, SiteJab can also create professional videos for you. They can do brand management, logo creation. They can do e-commerce integration into your site. From start to finish, from building from the ground floor up, they can help you spot, they can help viewers engage with your site. You can help convert those sites, those eyes, into actual business leads. And then they can even, on your site, take the business lead and turn it into a financial opportunity with e-commerce. SiteJab.com, SiteJab.com.
The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. All right. So apparently, I earlier said that the Astros voted against it. Apparently, it was the Astros players rep that voted against, but they worded it poorly. The Astros, Yankees, Cardinals, and Mets voted against it. So it was actually the owners voted 30-0 in favor. So apparently Astros, Mets, Yankees, and Cardinals were the four against, but by the, that was the players committee. So players voted 26-12. The player subcommittee voted 8-0 against, while the Astros, Mets, Yankees, and Cardinals players were against it. When they say the Astros, Yankees, Mets, and Cardinals, I assumed it was the teams. It was actually the players. So the owners voted 30-0. Regardless, we got baseball. We got baseball that's going to start actually Sunday, and you've got just a few days of getting ready, and then you're going to start playing games on Thursday. And then on April 7th, the baseball season starts. And the Astros, and we're going to get a full season. So we're going to get that Phillies and Yankees series in, which is kind of a big deal. Both sides were actually kind of up against it. And I think the owners maybe even more. Because once it hit 25 game lockout or missing of 25 games, then it turned into the owners lose TV money.
Yep.
Yeah. So that would have been a problem, obviously, for the owners. And they said, whatevs, let's just go. Let's just take this thing. Both sides made some concessions, and they got it done. We're going to have a universal DH now. They're going to talk about a pitch clock, which will be actually the Space Cowboys are one of the are going to be looking at a pitch clock, amongst other things that they're going to work on. And it'll be interesting to see now with a universal DH, 12 teams in the playoffs now. You like 12 teams? Are you an old baseball purist that just wants the four or now five?
Yeah, I'm more in the baseball purist where they've added it and they've gone to five.
I thought five was stupid.
They've gone to why? Because it was odd number?
Was because it was one game.
The play-in, I don't mind it. That creates a lot of drama and tension. I personally didn't mind it. Here's the thing. Do I think – now, you're talking about 12 total, so we're talking about six, right?
Six each league.
Am I more old school where I think you've got to earn it? I mean, you know my approach on the playoffs in college football. I think that it needs to really matter, and you need to keep it the best of the best, and you fight to get inside of that. Realistically, though, you know, to me, college football is just fine. They're not going to lose people if they don't expand the playoffs. I think baseball, really, to be honest with you, I'd almost be willing to say, you know what, let's make it more like basketball and have even more. Six is fine. It's 12 out of 30 teams. That's fine. But you need more engagement with more fan bases because it's a long, long season. And if your team's not in it or if they don't think they can make the playoffs, people check out on their teams. This isn't football where they're still playing fantasy football or whatever. So, yeah, I think actually expanding the playoffs is probably better for baseball.
Yeah. I mean,
it's a long season, though, John.
It's a long season. It's 162 games. But the only thing that anybody cares about is the playoffs.
Let me ask you, would you be okay with still creating a one-game playoff? I haven't seen what the format looks like. Well, but you're playing 162. Like, you're going to ask players to play a lot more. The one game creates the opportunity to not have so much stress and wear and tear on already gassed out bullpens and arms. Like, we talk about it every year. Justin Verlander was out of gas in the postseason. The Astros' arms were out of gas.
Well, I'm assuming it's
a lot harder, I think.
I'm assuming it's the three division winners, or the four division winners, rather.
Right, and then two.
And then it's going to be two one-game playoffs. So it's the third and fourth teams, not just the fourth team that's going to have to play the playoff. I mean,
I would be fine with that. I mean, it's tough for a division winner, that's tough to have a third and fourth team. And we know that we're likely to see, I mean, there's a good chance that, like, for example, the American League East is going to have three playoff teams, for example. That could definitely happen.
And another interesting
We're actually, it's way off. There's three divisions. So six teams is going to be, there's three divisions in each league.
Right.
So they're each.
No, but I knew what you were saying. You get the two, but what I'm telling you is you're still likely to get three out of the AL East. I mean, you're still likely to have one team that gets a majority of the.
That happens in football too. That the wild cards come out of. Yeah, that happens. I mean,
right. I mean, it's not that big a deal. I don't think it's that big a deal. But in terms of in terms of the one game playoffs, I do think that.
One game playoffs are out.
Out.
It's going to be okay, so it is officially
gone.
Done.
That's what I was going to.
It's going to be two out of three. Yeah. It's going to be two out of three.
Like I said, I was driving, and my son and wife had to tell me, "Oh, lockout's over." Oh, when did it end? Oh, a couple hours ago. Why didn't you guys tell me?
Well, it's going to be. It's going to be two out of three. It's going to be division winners against the wild card teams. Is it going to be that you get to pick the team that you play? Because that was on the table.
No. Well, no. So what I'm looking at here, it says awesome. Postseason will expand to 12 teams. Tiebreaker games are gone, so all of that will be handled by tiebreaker formulas. I don't know what that formula is going to be. The new wild card round is a best of three series with all three games hosted by the higher seeds.
Ah. There was a proposal where you get to pick the team that you want to play.
I don't think that made it through.
I would love that.
That would never make it through.
Great.
But it would be amazing.
So there's actually a few more like interesting little.
Well, you want us?
Changes.
I'm sorry. Excuse me. Did you say you want us, bitch? Is that what you said? That would be. Come on, baseball. You all like to have your own. That would be so unwritten rule-y.
One positive rule change is the 7-inning doubleheaders are gone, and there's no more runner on second base to start extras.
No more ghost runners?
Yep. So we're back to 9-inning doubleheaders, and
that's good.
Starting off with empty bases.
Yeah.
Is it good? Do you think that's good to have these games last till the 15th, 16th inning? I don't think it's good. That was actually one thing that I thought, you know what? Maybe baseball, I know it's unconventional, maybe baseball's figuring this thing out that they want to, you know, maybe a little less wear and tear on these arms. I mean, we're sitting here waiting for Lance McCullers to come back. God forbid he misses another year after missing as much time as he had with the wear and tear on the arm. So many of the pitchers who pitch now have been grinding away in youth baseball and travel baseball the whole time. I don't know that it is a great idea to have as long a season as possible with as many innings as possible. We already have a sport, John, where they're already like, okay, I mean, it's a miracle when we get starters with six innings. It's like a miracle.
Well, and here's the other thing, too, is the 1 and 2 seeds get first-round buys. So they're going to have to wait for 3 or 4 days before, even longer.
Like an all-star break? That's not that bad.
Well, no, it's going to be even longer than that because you're probably not going to start the 3 seed playing the worst team, the 4 seed playing the 5th seed. You're probably going to take a day off after the season ends. Then you're going to have a day in between as well. That's going to be a good 5-day break.
But that's an all-star break. That's not
an all-star break is 3 days.
No, hold on. Wait. You're off on Sunday, your all-star break.
No, you're
you don't
not.
Have anything Monday.
Everybody plays on Sunday.
I mean, but you get off. What I'm talking about is you get off after the Sunday game. So Monday you're off, Tuesday game, Wednesday off, Thursday game. Is it Thursday game?
Thursday
it's not
games,
Friday
yeah.
game?
Yeah, there's Thursday games and there's Friday games. Yeah.
But what's the – so what? You get 5. So you mean guys have more time to rest and heal up?
Or get rusty.
I don't buy into the rust.
We'll see.
So many guys don't even pitch as many innings now. Like, I don't – you can also throw. You still have your bullpen days. How are you going to get rusty if you have your bullpen day?
Well,
if you're a starter –
There is a rust factor. You can poo-poo it, but there will be a rust factor, and it may come into play too. The teams that are playing, the teams that are hot, they move into another series right away. Now they do use more pitchers, but by the time you get there in a 3-game series, your pitcher will your starter will probably be rested.
I guarantee you, there's not a baseball player who is going to poo-poo having some time off to rest and relax after a 162-game schedule.
And then like, when they lose, they're going to say, yeah, I wish we didn't have all that time off.
I doubt it. They're going to say, I wish we hit better. I wish or we caught a
no,
buzzsaw.
I'm telling you, they're going to say because it's happened
Russ
all the
is
time.
That's so overrated. We always talk about how fresh people are when they get rest in football, but then all of a sudden it's rust in baseball.
Yeah.
Like guys are fresh. But, he hasn't played. He's fresh. And in baseball, it's like, he hasn't played. He's rusty.
The ban on the shift did not make the cut. Did not make the cut.
One interesting thing.
Wish it did, honestly.
There's going to be a draft lottery for six picks.
Yeah, 6 picks. Some people are saying it's just not enough. You're going to have a lottery for the bottom 6 picks, so tanking will be out. Well, I don't know that it'll be out, but listen, I don't know how they're going to do it with ping pong balls. I don't know how many you're going to get or whatever the case may be. But yeah, tanking, you're going to try to curtail tanking with a draft lottery, so that'll be interesting.
Well, NBA has it, and is it going to be? Is it weighted or is it random? In baseball, it should be random.
I don't know. There's no details on what it's going to be.
It should be equal chances, and you're right. I would go 8 teams. I would go 8 teams. Random lottery. Everyone's got the same chances of winning. Because let's face it, in baseball, you don't have the same level of. I think in baseball, there's a greater opportunity to draft players in not at anywhere in the first and in multiple rounds that end up becoming really good players as opposed to basketball. So I wouldn't weight it like you do in basketball. Make it random.
Yeah.
Make it random some more teams. So now you've got 8 on the bottom, you got 12 on the top. That's 20 teams that are either going to have a top pick or a chance at a top pick or the playoffs. Well, now you only have 10 that are in that zone where they got to decide, all right, do we sell off or do we try to make a run at being one of the 6 in our league?
Art wants to know if they banned the wave. And to me, that would be the first thing on the docket. If we don't ban the wave, we're not coming to a collective bargaining
agreement. Where are you on the shift?
On the shift? No. You know what? If you can't, if they shift on you and you can't hit it to the opposite field, then that's on you.
Yeah, then, you know you're probably right. You don't need to, deal with it.
Please, there's a lot of guys they can't shift on. You know why? Because they got bat control.
But what about the idea that a shortstop or a second baseman can't cross the line that is drawn from second? You can still shift.
You could put all 9 guys. Except 8 guys between first and second. I don't care. If the guy can't hit, if there's a wide open hole on the left side of the infield and you can't hit there, that's on you. That should be on you.
I mean, you are right. I mean, it is true. That is very much a, it's not fair, let's fix it. Where at the same time, well, you could fix it with just altering your swing a little bit.
Yeah,
I mean, you could take
you
advantage
it.
Of it anytime you want.
You hit it, you Uncle Mike hits it down third base. Do you know what? Guess what?
But Tony, he doesn't do that, though.
I want to see you shift against Tony Gwynn
and
Rod Carew.
Neither are
Pete Rose. Go shift against Pete Rose.
That's
see how that works out.
That's the whole point now. I've heard the argument made by an agent who used to be involved with his company used to be involved with baseball. His whole thing was the shift is less about guys can't do it. It's that there's no money in it. You don't make any money in beating things with a bunt down the line. Your money is made by driving the ball every time you have an at-bat.
How about this, Lance? How about this? You bunt down the third baseline. You bunt down the third baseline. You bunt down. They stop shifting. Now you crush them. You crush them even worse. So I don't buy that one. As soon as they take the shift off because they know that you can hit it that way, okay. Now all of a sudden you've got a bigger advantage.
You don't buy it. Tell me the player that does that.
Well, that
somebody. I mean, something's happening. Oh, it's not about back control. Guys aren't doing it for some reason.
Baseball.
It doesn't make sense to me either. But they don't. Baseball players.
You know what smart
and
baseball
smart
players
analytics,
do?
Smart analytics people aren't doing.
If
this.
You take the if you take the shift away. You have a much better advantage of pulling the ball and hitting it hard and doing more damage. So take in those few at-bats that it takes to take the shift away, you're going to give yourself a bigger advantage. Analytics hasn't caught up to my theories.
There's no question. Analytics continues to be behind your theories. You wanted George Springer out of the leadoff hole.
Yeah.
Jeff Leno never caught up with.
No, that's because he's dumb. 846 ESPN 97.
Hey, one of you still working?
No, that's right. Not
one
Luno.
One of you still working?
No, not Luno. Right?
I'm just saying. I think Luno's in charge of a multi-million-dollar SPAC, but still.
AJ got banished to Detroit. How'd that work out for you, AJ?
Yeah. Look at you. You're still right here.
I'm still right here in Houston. Well, where are you? I knew I'd outlast you. Not putting in Garrett Cole.
Let me tell you what you should do. That was a move that got him banished to Detroit. A move that's going to get you banished out of your own home is if you don't take advantage of the great truck offers that they have going on right now. And I'm talking about some 0% financing on well-qualified buyers. And it goes beyond that. Go to the website, LanceZCars.com, and you can check out all the vehicles they have in stock and even the ones that are in transit with the supply chain issues. But I'm telling you right now, when it comes to the Chevy Silverado 1500 Crew Cab, you are going to see, or 1500, you're going to get an unbelievable pickup truck. It looks amazing. It's a 2022, and you have an opportunity to take advantage during truck month of a great offer for my friends over at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. They never go over the MSRP. There's other people who are gouging right now, taking advantage. But Craig DeCerf, that's not who he is. It's not who he's ever going to be. He's going to make sure that he gives you a ton of money for your trade-in. If you didn't know this by now, trade-ins are getting a lot of money. If you can get a ton of money for your trade-in, and they will put you in the right truck for the right price and help you work with what it is that you're looking for. Chevy. Find new roads and do it at LanceZCars.com.
This is Carlos Correa, All-Star and Chevy fan. Silverado, Tahoe, Traverse, or Chevy Cruze, your new vehicle is waiting at Gulf Coast Chevrolet in Angleton. No one will treat you better. Chevy, find new roads.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
But Norris is going to join us in about 9 minutes here on ESPN 97.5. We'll talk to him about the lockout and, or baseball being back. How about that? Forget lockout. Lockout done. Second longest baseball stoppage ever over this stuff. That's the killer for me.
Wait, what? This was?
This was the second longest baseball stoppage ever.
Oh, wait, we're counting baseball stoppage, Joe.
Well, because they were locked out since December.
Hold on, 94 was the longest?
99 days. 94 was the longest, yeah.
So this was 99 days, but it doesn't feel like it because it was off season.
Yeah, right. Right. We didn't. We didn't even miss a game. That's
not
going to
miss
it
a game. That sounds like some bar trivia thing where you're trying to win a drink. What is the second longest baseball stoppage ever? Wrong. 2022. 99 days. Wait a minute. They played 162 games. They actually played even more because they had playoffs with 12 teams. Give me my beer. I bet I can tell you where you got your shoes on. I bet you I can tell you where you got your shoes right now. Where? French Quarter. Give me my money. Oh, no, not one of these kids. You ever had one of those kids try to hustle you in the French Quarter?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not fun. If they think they got you, they want you. All right, I'm going to bet you your watch. I don't want to bet watch. We're not doing that bet. I had a guy in the French Quarter one time when I first moved down there when I was going to school. I was in the French Quarter, and it was me and my friend Michael and Clint and then Michael's dad. So we were all out in French Quarter, 18-year-old kids. And this guy started shaking my hand. He was a street performer, but he had a tag. He had his name. He was licensed. And so he was shaking my hand. He goes, "What's your name, young man?" And I tell him, and he's shaking my hand. He's talking to me. He said, "Now listen, I am a licensed street performer." He starts looking around at everybody. "I am a licensed street performer. My name is whatever his name was. And I have a license to do this. I was licensed by the New Orleans Board of Tourism, and it's something that I pay money for this. I go through a training process," and he's still shaking my hand the whole time. And he's talking and engaging everybody. And then he finishes talking to him. He stops shaking my hand. He goes, "So how long are you here?" And I said, "We're just here all night partying." He's like, "What time are you going to go home?" I said, "I don't know. I guess whenever we decide to go home." He goes, "I tell you what a good time is. From right now, stay 5 more hours from this point right now." He said, "That's a good amount of time to be here. What time is it right now?" So I look. I don't have a watch. He had taken my watch off. My watch was a strap, like, you know, where you, it's got the little latch. It's not an easy latch. It's the kind that has the little, you know, the little, the pointer thing. Right. Yeah, it's a band. Like, right. It's a regular band. Right. He had taken off, and he said, "Here's my point. Ladies and gentlemen, I have his watch right here. And here's the point. In New Orleans, I am a licensed guy. There's going to be a lot of people who will be more than happy to have that same spiel, and they will take your watch, and you will not have it. The French Quarter is loaded with people like this, so make sure that you watch out for it." I had two friends pickpocketed. They were walking in front of us, and this girl came up and tried – this girl and this guy in a small, like, shotgun alley tried to come up, and, like, the girl tried to start trying to grab on him, if you know what I mean.
What are you?
And
I'm like, hey. Are you an Oliver Twist? And are you in a – what
it's,
the?
It's – yeah, basically.
Oliver. You
and this guy's laughing and smiling. She's grabbing all
How
over
much
everybody.
Did you get from him, Oliver?
And that's what happened. We didn't know until, like, I don't know, 15 minutes later that realized that they had both gotten pickpocketed. Mm. And luckily I was behind those guys. But they had both gotten – one had a wallet taken, one had cash taken out of his pocket. So, yeah, I don't know why I started down this road of be careful in the French Quarter, but that's what ADD does to you sometime. When you add up some coffee to it, I end up turning into, hey, be careful in the French Quarter.
Right.
And don't buy hash. I know another guy tried to buy hash, and it was grass clippings with dog turds in it.
Ooh, don't buy.
Yep,
don't buy grass clippings with dog turds.
Well, that's what this guy Dave on the 12th floor is a lunatic. He was missing for 3 days during Mardi Gras. We called police as missing persons, and he came back with dirty feet, wearing a kimono. Like, "I was always around, boys. I was just out of my gourd for a few days." Like, okay, this college is different.
Right. So had a caller wanted to ask Lance about the Sean Payton to Dallas rumors and who their draft pick would be.
So I've got them drafting Treylon Burks. I think it's either going to be wide receiver or offensive lineman. They could go pass rusher, but they just have such a huge need along the offensive line. And now with Gallup leaving more than likely, and with Amari Cooper, you know, getting cut, this is going to be – I don't know that it's been made official, but they've already come out and said they're doing it. So they also are going to need wide receiver as well. So I could see them drafting potentially best wide receiver there or best offensive lineman, whoever they have ranked higher. Now, I was told this. People around and near the Sean Payton world are posting up in Dallas now because that's what's going to happen. So anything short of I don't know. I mean, Super Bowl, you can't get rid of them. If you get to the NFC Championship game, I'm not sure that you can get rid of McCarthy unless he was 10-7, you know, and didn't really have an impressive regular season, and there's not a lot of momentum, and he just happens to weasel into a game. But if they get to a Super Bowl, I think he stays. If they win a Super Bowl, he definitely stays. But anything short of that, I've been told that, you know, Peyton is going to be the guy. So you have to. You can't just go right away. So you got a year separation between the Saints and the Cowboys, and I think that's what this year is going to be. I thought he was going to TV. At first, I thought it was going to be okay. You know, Amazon is throwing crazy money at people, and now Apple TV will too if they start getting football rights.
Sean,
they already
Payton
got baseball
is a,
rights.
I don't know that he's a color guy. I don't know.
No. Well, yeah. I mean, it would be a color commentator. I don't know if he is or not, but I mean, how do you turn down if somebody wants to give you $18 to $20 million? It's more than you're going to make as a coach, and you don't have any of the stress. Like, how do you not take that?
Right.
Honestly, how do you not take that unless you're just a psychopath?
We got a break here because Bud Norris is going to join us on the other side, talk baseball with former Astro pitcher Bud Norris next, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.